Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today, we want to speak on the subject overcoming wrong teaching, overcoming wrong teaching or doctrine, and we are going to take it from the church in Thyatira, Revelation chapter 2 and then verse 18. We are going to read down to verse number 29. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, Thyatira means perfume, right? These things says the Son of God, please underline Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, underline that one, and his feet like fine brass, underline those three things in verse 18. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I know the mention of Jezebel can confuse you a little bit. You know, there is a mention of Jezebel in the Old Testament, but at this time in Asia Minor, the name Jezebel was used for wrong teachers. Okay, so verse 21 now. And I gave her time to repent, or to change her mind of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. Please underline that. All the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to him, now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine or this teaching, who have not known the depth of Satan, you can underline doctrine and depth of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes what? Wrong teaching, and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. I will give him rulership. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. A rod of iron is a scepter, you know, instrument of authority or rulership. I'll give him a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand something that is very important to our dearest Jesus. What is very important to him, which sometimes the church of the Lord take for granted, for which reason Jesus had to come down, and in spite of the fact that there were apostles and there were human leadership of the church, he had to interject and bring in this understanding to them. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that there is this thing that is very important to Jesus. It is how our word life is like, our teaching, our understanding, the kind of understanding which is in our heads, even as we are doing our works to God. What kind of mindset do you have? What kind of mental understanding do you have? It is very important to the Lord. He begins it in a way that I really like about our Lord Jesus, you know. So he says that I am the Son of God, verse 18. These things says the Son of God. What was he doing? He was trying to identify with his church. Because he is not the only Son of God. In him, we are also sons of God. So Jesus Christ doesn't use a very powerful title that he has. He uses an everyday title, common to all believers, the Son of God. He's telling us that we should be proud of being the sons of God. We should be proud of our sonship relationship with the Lord. Because we are living in a generation where the title Son of God means very little. There are other titles that appeals, like if you say prophet, or you say apostle, or you say maybe a reverend doctor, or you say an elder or a deacon. Those titles are wonderful titles. But Jesus Christ is calling our minds to the most important title that God ever confers. And he confessed it upon all his children. Hallelujah. The title of being the Son of God. Says that what I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you in my capacity as the Son of God. And brothers and sisters, God wants us to be proud sons of God. Proud that we are sons of God. Proud of that relationship as sons before the Father. Hallelujah. Because that is the most powerful title God can ever give unto any man. The Bible says that, behold, the manner of love that the Father has loved us with, that we should be called the sons of God or the children of God. Of course, the word sons of God is used generically here to include females or ladies. Hallelujah. He wants us to know that that is a great show of his love. For us to be called the children of God, the daughters of God, and the sons of God. The Son of God, that title is very powerful. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 1 that as many as believed him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. When we become sons of God, we are given that position of power so that we can command things and the things will become what we say they should become. The devil is aware of the importance of that title, Son of God. So in the temptations of Jesus, he came to him and then he was always mentioning to him, if you are the Son of God, then command. That should tell us that sons of God have got power to command and to change the state of things. He says, a command for these stones to be made edible. For these things which are useless, for these waste places to become places that humanity can enjoy. And that is what we have as sons of God. We have got the power, commanding power. We can look at things which are wrong, things which are useless, so to speak, into inverted commas, and command life into them. Hallelujah. We can change our circumstances around. That is how powerful the title Son of God is. I remember some months ago when this pandemic started, I had a growth on my arm. The thing was growing and growing and growing. It made my right arm actually look ugly. So I will put my hands on it and I'll command it to die, wither. Hallelujah. It was just last week that my attention was drawn to it. I looked at it and the thing was completely gone. Hallelujah. The Son of God means that you can look at a problem in your life and command it that it should go. It took months before it withered. But ladies and gentlemen, it is completely gone. Hallelujah. I want you to know that there is power in your life as Son of God. You may not be a prophet. You may not be a doctor of theology. But you have power inside of you. God wants us to go back for that title we have dropped. Because Romans chapter 8 verse 19 says that in this time that creation is groaning and longing and expecting the manifestation of sons of God, not doctors of the law, not doctors of theology, not apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. He are looking for the sons of God for them to be manifest. Hallelujah. Because God has put something into that title. I came to remind you, like our dearest Jesus did, the church of Thyatira, that we need to go back and be proud of the fact that we are sons of God. Hallelujah. It is the greatest show of the love of God to us. It is a title full of power. Hallelujah. So Jesus says that these things the Son of God is saying. I made you to underline whose eyes is like a flame of fire. What is Jesus trying to teach us by introducing himself like that? See, when somebody is coming to talk to you and he introduces himself as somebody whose eyes is like a flame of fire, then it means that that thing is relevant for that church. Hallelujah. If it's not relevant, they will use another title. There are titles that you have. There are some places when you go, you use those titles. Because you look at the people and you know that that title is relevant to them. There are other titles you may have, other positions you may have, which you may not use. Because given the crowd that you are speaking to, that title may not be important. This was important for the church in that generation. It was important for them to know Jesus as somebody whose eyes is like a flame of fire. And that is the description Jesus Christ gave about himself. Hallelujah. He's trying to tell us that we must be proud of our vision. In the Bible, the eyes is talking about vision. Hallelujah. So you are not just proud of your sonship relationship. What you also need is pride in the vision that God has put in your heart. Hallelujah. Because you are a son of God, but you are going to need a specific vision to run this race in this life with. So you must be proud of your vision. You must not let anybody put down your vision. Hallelujah. Your vision must be burning like the vision of Jesus. Jesus said, my eyes or my vision, they are burning. They are like a flame of fire. In other words, he was saying that my vision is compelling. My vision is my energy. My vision is my impetus. My vision is my drive. It is the thing that sets me on fire. Hallelujah. And God wants us to remember the visions that he has given unto us, the things that he has said, or the desirable positions that and things that we have to accomplish that resonates with us, that is deep inside of us, that we know will give us fulfillment. God wants us to be proud of our vision and not to let anybody talk down on your vision. Work on your vision. Work on your vision every day of your life. Do something that will urge the vision to practical reality. Do something practical that will make the vision a practical reality. So Jesus is telling us that we must have what? Vision. And we must be proud of our vision to tell people that this is me. My eyes is like that. My vision is like that. Hallelujah. The third way he introduces himself is that his feet is like fine brass. I love this one so much because he is not only telling us to be proud of our sonship relationship and be proud of the vision God has given unto you, but also to be proud of your skin color. Hallelujah. You know, I was asking the Lord, actually, why did you have to say that? I mean, what kind of introduction is this? You're introducing yourself to your church and you are saying that your feet, you mentioned the color of your feet, that your feet is like brass, fine brass. Hallelujah. Wonderful. I believe that Jesus Christ is telling us something, because in the Bible, the feet is talking about dominion. It's talking about your practical work. You have a position as a son of God. You have a vision that you are running with. Practically, for you to have dominion, you must be proud of who God has made you naturally. You cannot deny what is natural to you, which human beings did not give you, which God gave you by birth, which you came into the world with. It has got something to do with your dominion. It has got something to do with your rulership. It has got something to do with the vision that God has given you. Hallelujah. If you go back to the Revelation chapter 1, when John was describing Jesus, you will see that he describes him with descriptions that if you're a dark-skinned person, you can identify with. Because he said that his hair was white like wool. You know that our hair, as typical dark skinned people, is woolen. It's not silky. It's not like a thread. It just winds like that, like a spring. It's woolen. Hallelujah. That is how the hair of Jesus was described by the Apostle John. When he saw the glorified Jesus, he saw that his feet was not a white man's feet, so to speak. He saw that his feet belonged to a shade of color that the world in our generation right now say is black.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. Brass is black as far as this world is concerned. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, look at my feet. I can have dominion. I believe that dark-skinned people, this one is very peculiar to you, because God knows that we are the minority in the world. God knows that of the seven continents of the world, only one is populated by dark-skinned people. God knows that wherever we go in the world, there are more light-skinned people in the world than dark-skinned people. And that is why I believe one of the reasons why Jesus Christ gave the color of his feet, so that we will know that in spite of the color of our skin, we may be regarded in prejudice as people who are down at the heel. But Jesus says that we can have dominion. Hallelujah. Dark-skinned people can rule. They can have dominion in this life. Wonderful. That is why he introduces himself as somebody whose feet is dark in color. It reminds me of the greatest and the richest king who ever lived. In fact, the richest man who ever lived on this earth. Around 1925, some group of Americans came together to examine the net worth of this man. And then they concluded it was in trillions. This is 1925. His net worth was in trillions. About 100 years after, in the year 2020, if you just breast with what is happening, just last week, this Amazon man, by virtue of this COVID and all that, is doing a lot of online stuff, and his wealth has shot up to $204 billion, almost $100 billion more than the second person, Bill Gates. This is our richest man, Bezos. But he is only $200 billion. As of 1925, the net worth of Solomon was in trillions. Not present day value, was in trillions. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very glad to tell you that if Solomon should appear here right now, you will see that he just looks like you, because he's a dark-skinned man, the richest man who has ever lived on this earth, and who will ever live, so to speak, apart from our Lord Jesus himself, is Solomon, born by David, a dark, olive-skinned person with Bathsheba, a black woman. And the Bible says that God looked upon Solomon even when he was young, and he said that, I love him. I love him. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to tell us something, that we can have rulership, we can have dominion on this earth. You can fulfill, most importantly, the vision that God has given for your life. You can walk in dominion as far as that vision is concerned. You can fulfill it to the fullest, practically, on this earth. And this is the way Jesus Christ introduced himself. Wow. Thank God a greater than Solomon is the one who is introducing himself, richer than Solomon, because the whole earth belongs to him. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Wonderful. We can live in dominion. The rest of the scriptures It's talking about right doctrine. I know some of you, you can get confused. I've told you about Jezebel already. Jezebel is a title that was used for wrong teachers. And I know you can get confused when you look at sexual immorality. He teaches to seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality, eating sacrifice to idols. You know, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. She did not. Look at verse 22. Say, I'll cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, that is people who have taken the wrong teaching, into great tribulation unless they repent. Repent means to think differently. Unless they change their mentality, unless they change their understanding, I will kill her children, 23, with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the mind and the heart. All that I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is that all the immorality thing that we saw, that picture that you get, God says that I am going to punish all that so that you will know one thing, that I search the mind and the heart. So he's not talking about physical adultery. He's talking about something in the mind. Says, I'm going to deal with the perversion so that you will know that I search the mind and the heart. So I came to tell us something, that you can be a believer, but you see, you can be sleeping with a certain understanding. You can be toying with a certain wrong teaching. And you may not mind because you have your car, you have your building, you have your children, everything is going on fine, but you don't care about your word life. You don't care about the things that you are sleeping with. I can even say that there are believers who believe that they are in the kingdom of God, but the mindset doesn't belong to the kingdom. What are they doing? They are committing mental adultery. Mentally, they are sleeping with religion. Mentally, they are sleeping with another teaching that is different from the kingdom word that Jesus Christ is. And Jesus says, I want you to repent. Hallelujah. I care about what is in your mind. Don't think that I'm just looking at your works. Yes, I know your works, but I have some things against you. What is in your mind is wrong teaching. What is in your heart is wrong understanding. And he says, I repent. Repent, the Greek word is metanoia, and it means to think differently. Think differently. Think differently. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Let me teach you something. In the kingdom system, man, when Jesus Christ says that you should repent, as he did to the church of Ephesus, he says that, repent, okay? As he did to the church of Thyatira that we are speaking about right now, saying to them that they should repent. In the first message to the church, in Revelation 2, verse 1 downwards, about the message to the church of Ephesus, Jesus taught them how to repent. Can we all say how to repent? I want to teach you how to repent with a repentance that Jesus Christ will like. Okay? Now, he said to the church in Ephesus that remember from whence you have fallen and repent. Remember from whence you have fallen. It means that they were up here, 1 meter high. Now they have fallen to the ground. They are on the ground now. And Jesus is telling them that remember from where you fell. It means that for you to repent in a kingdom way, you have to go back to the place of the kingdom where you were. It's the high place where you were, so that you can repent. Ladies and gentlemen, because your motivation to repent must come from something positive, from the wonderful place you know God has got for you. So he doesn't say something like, remember your sins. In religion, we remember our sins to repent. When we say we should repent, they will say that, well, remember what you did, remember what you did, remember. Jesus didn't say that. He said that, remember the good one and repent. Remember where, that high place that you were, and repent. He didn't say remember your sins and repent. He didn't say remember your suffering as a result of your sins and repent, because that one belongs to religious repentance. He comes from his heavenly kingdom. He is interjecting to teach something very important, something very dear to him. The first message to the first church of Asia Minor, he teaches them kingdom repentance. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. Because he wants our repentance to always be motivated by something positive. Not sins, not suffering, but the kingdom. If you recall, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, when he started his public ministry, he said, I repent because the kingdom of God. He didn't say, repent because you are sinners, you will die and all that. He says, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. He gives them something positive to look up to that will inform their repentance. Because when your repentance is a religious one, that is motivated by your present suffering because of your sin. That is motivated by the remembrance of your sins. Ladies and gentlemen, anything that is not of the kingdom, the devil can overthrow it. So when he says, I repent, he's telling them, change your mind. Remember the lofty place. Remember from where you were. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, repentance means for us that we must remember the first kingdom era of Adam. That is the place from which you fell. Remember that kingdom era in the Garden of Eden and repent, because if you look at how you are right now and that glorious place God started us on, you will see that no, I need to repent. If you look at that, you will always have cause to repent. But if you look around you, a time will come, complacency will set in. You will not look at the kingdom system. The heaven is our standard. The kingdom system is our standard. Jesus, our heavenly person, is our standard. Hallelujah. If we bear that one in mind always, we will change form and improve from glory to glory. Hallelujah. So he says that I search the mind. I want us to watch it, because it's possible for you to be a believer, born again, even a man of God, but you have mental adultery. Mental adultery is your mind enjoying an illegitimate understanding, illegitimate woman, illegitimate man, somebody you are not in covenant with. There is a covenant that God has made with us. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why he says, I search the heart also. Because your heart can be in church, but ladies and gentlemen, it can be flirting with an understanding. It says, I'm searching the heart. I'm searching the mind. How is your word life like? God wants us to look at that. Look at verse 24. To you, I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, as many as do not have wrong teaching, who have not known the depths of Satan. Wrong teaching exposes you to the depth of Satan. Wrong teaching, it's a subliminal way. The devil has a subliminal way of doing things. The Bible says that, don't you know, a little yeast can live in the whole thing? And when he used the word yeast, if you look at the way Jesus Christ used it, he was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. When he said, beware of the living of the scribes and the Pharisees, he was talking about their teaching. And the Bible says that, don't you know that a little living, it spoils the whole thing. That is why he says, I have some few things against you. Because that thing will expose you to the depth of Satan. There are some people whose teaching is in the depth of Satan. I wish to God that we will teach the depth of Jesus. Because they know everything about Satan and about the network in the under the water and in the second heaven and in some places which this person is a former witch, and he has come, and then they are mentioning some words. Some of you buy those books, you enjoy them. You know the depths of the devil, the deep things about the devil. What about the deep things of God? It says, as many people have teachings that are revealing the depths of Jesus, not the depths of the devil. It says that if you have a teaching that is showing you, unveiling the depths of God, the depths of Jesus unto you, look at the reward. He says that many people who are like that, I'll give them rulership over the nations.
Mentality will make you rule. The right understanding here will make you dash the world in pieces. Nobody can stand before you. It's just a matter of time. You will overcome that problem because of what is here. Because in your mind is the correct kingdom word. Hallelujah. Jesus cares about our world life. He cares about our world life. What he wants to give us is not cars and buildings. What he wants to give us is so many people in our churches. What he wants to give us is the depths, is the teaching, is himself, is Jesus, who is the word of God. He wants us, after we have gotten all the cars and the buildings and all the travel opportunities, we have gotten everything. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not it. What he really wants to give you is an understanding of himself after the kingdom manner. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us about the people of Job. Job had got some friends in Job chapter 42. For want of time, we cannot go there. But let me show you something. God was very annoyed with the friends of Job. If you read Job chapter 42, verse 7 to verse 8, it tells us clearly why God was annoyed with them. He said, "I am annoyed, Job, with your friends because they have not spoken of me the things which are right. As you, Job, you have done." He repeats it that, look, why I am annoyed with your friends, Eliphaz and then those Bildad and those people. Why I'm annoyed with them is that what they are saying of me is not right. In other words, their teaching is not right. Their understanding is not right. They are in idolatry. They have embraced Jezebel. Illicit relationship. In their minds, I said the mind. I know you are in adultery. You are not sleeping with the kingdom word. You are sleeping with a different understanding. And I care about that. He said, "I have accepted Job." Do you know why? He said, "Because Job spoke of me the things which are right." Go and study the things that the friends of Job said about God. They were even trying to defend God. That, Job, you think you are right. You think God is a bad person, that he has brought these things. I mean, they were trying to defend God. If you read it, you say, but they were speaking for you, God. But the last chapter, God says, "I'm annoyed. All that they said, or some of the things that they said, they have not spoken rightly of me. Like you, Job, you spoke the right thing about me." And so he told them, tell them, this is the way they are going to solve their problem. They should go for seven bulls and those kind of things and come and offer sacrifice, evening oblation, talking about the death of Jesus Christ. So they went to bring those animals and gave it to Job, and then he slaughtered them. And then the Bible says that he prayed for his friends. Ladies and gentlemen, it is only when we remember Jesus, our blessed burnt offering, who is the summation of all of the religious burnt offerings in the Old Testament. It is only when we remember him that we receive acceptance. When we remember the words, the doctrine of Jesus. Look at 3 John whilst you are still there. As I bring my message to an end. 2 John. "For many deceivers have gone," 2 John 7. It's just very close to Revelations. 2 John 7. "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh." You see the thing? They don't recognize that Jesus Christ came, his feet was like bent brass. They recognize it, but he says the problem is that they don't say it. They don't confess it. As coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. "Look to yourself that you do not lose those things that you work for, but that you may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Hey! This man who wrote the book of Revelations, this man, Apostle John, who was very close to Jesus. What he's saying is strange, yo. He says that anybody in this end time, there are a lot of deceivers who does not confess Jesus came in the flesh, he belongs somewhere. That teaching belongs somewhere. And then he says that if anybody does not have the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, the person doesn't have God. He may say, well, I have God. I mean, God is my maker. God is my redeemer and things like that. But he says that your doctrine, it's not the doctrine of Christ. Do you know the doctrine of Christ? When he came in Matthew 5 to Matthew 7, he said, you have heard it said, but I say to you, that is what is called the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. Read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. You come across the phrase, the doctrine of Christ. Those things are the things that we have to. He's talking about the kingdom word. He's talking about the kingdom word. God says that he who overcomes, go back to Revelations 2. And then verse 20 says, he who overcomes, overcomes what? Wrong teaching. Overcomes mental adultery, mental fornication, with some other understanding other than the kingdom word, the doctrine of Christ. He who overcomes, I'll give him power over the nations. He's going to rule in this life. I'll give him the morning star. That is Jesus. I'll give him a revelation of myself. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say it is after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.